Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by Local Enterprise Office Donegal. If you have an idea to start or grow your business within Donegal, contact the Local Enterprise Office to find out more about the supports available for businesses. See localenterprise.ie/Donegal.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Well, this week I've been speaking with John Duffy, who along with Laura McGarren run a regenerative organic farm near Churchill. What they are doing could be an eye-opener for many when it comes to uplands farming, and they have a business with several different revenue streams. Coming up, we'll hear about their special farming practices, on-farm events, on their future oak farm project, and more recently, plans for a unique protein bar using dehydrated organic beef or indeed venison. John was born in London with his father from Garton and his mother from Dunloe. Having studied engineering and been abroad, John came back to Donegal about a decade ago with a few ideas regarding how to restore pastures in upland areas through regenerative and holistic management practices. So let's delve into matters and find out more. Well, I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the line by John Duffy, who has been involved in a number of projects down through the years, his Future Oak Farm project of particular interest, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. Also, his Savage Protein Company, and some very interesting things coming down the track. John, we've a lot to get through here, so maybe I'll ask you first of all to explain, give us the old elevator pitch as to what you're actually doing at the moment, what is your main focus of business, and how did it all begin?
Sure. Well, thanks for the opportunity, first of all. My name is John Duffy, originally from a family who were reared on the shores of Loch Garten out there towards Glendone, which is a couple of miles from Churchill. And we run a farming project there, a regenerative farming project called Future Oak Farm, my partner Laura and I. And our whole goal is really to rethink the way agricultural production takes place in the west of Ireland. So we use animal systems to regenerate the local ecosystem whilst also having a side product of the best beef possible in the world with a zero input system. So we run animals 365 days of the year outside. They never see a shed or a bale of hay, which obviously significantly reduces our overhead. And, also leave the landscape in a better state than we got it.
Well, before looking at this nurturing of a regenerative culture in the hills of Donegal in more detail, and this type of farming could be hugely beneficial for the future of uplands farming, I wanted to ask John about another string to his bow. Recently, he's been involved in developing a new product, an organic protein bar. In order to advance matters, he has been part of the New Frontiers program funded by Enterprise Ireland. The Savage Protein Company has been set up, and I put it to him that this could all be very exciting.
Absolutely, yeah. So in line with our ethics on the farm, you know, not wanting to be kind of drawn into these long chains where we lose value outside of the farm gate, we're trying to build a closer, more kind of intimate connection with our customers who really appreciate the work that we do. So our latest project has been development of the Savage Protein Company, which is where we're trying to connect. There's a highly motivated population of people out there that are becoming more nutritionally aware, particularly in the light of, and these are no longer just gym bunnies as they were 20 years ago, but they're people, you know, like myself and perhaps yourself, who are becoming aware of the importance of nutrition and the role that it plays in aging well. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to reconnect people with real food. And we've developed this concept for you might be familiar with protein bars that you might come across in the, at like supermarket tills or at the petrol station when you call in for a tank of diesel, Grenade, Fulfill, All the Real, these kind of things. And what we've noticed is that there's a gap in the market there for a real food protein bar. So a lot of these are kind of highly ultra-processed bars that contain a lot of kind of ingredients that you would find difficult to pronounce in terms of emulsifiers, preservatives, extenders, and sweeteners. And we're looking to deliver to the market a bar that is ultimately a dehydrated meat product that is shelf-stable, convenient, and contains none of the junk that you usually find in the other competitors in the marketplace. And it's a way for us really to connect this real high-value, high-quality protein source that we have in the forms of beef from our upland regenerative farming system, but also potentially venison as well from the west of Ireland, into a product that people can really value and get behind whilst trying to achieve their lifestyle, fitness, and health goals.
So by going on the New Frontiers program, this gives you an opportunity to explore matters further and to really develop the whole product.
Absolutely, yeah. So we initially, we had this kind of concept kicking around for a while. Both myself and my partner, Laura, like to train in the gym. And we often find ourselves, when we're on the go, we're busy, you know, we're moving around the place trying to manage a herd of cattle and trying to figure out what grass to feed them next and running between appointments. We often find ourselves in a position where we're kind of caught short or caught between. And we recognize that this was also a problem that other people were experiencing, particularly those that are health conscious or worried about their health as their age. So we initially took this concept to the guys at Alpha Innovations, which are a kind of startup incubator, very exciting startup incubator located in Letterkenny. And we came through, we kind of did a stress check really of the concept, understanding the market dynamics and the potential opportunities that were there over the course of last summer. And then we were at the towards the end of that period, which was an 8-week kind of boot camp, if you like, we saw the opportunity to pitch towards Enterprise Ireland for a much bigger market opportunity. And we were lucky enough to get in. So over the course of the next 6 months, we're 2 months into it now, we're kind of being taken under the wing of some of the best and brightest minds in the Irish startup ecosystem. We're given access to various pots of funding and various expertise in order to develop this concept and really see if there's a product that we can bring successfully to the market. And of course, by being able to access directly the consumer aspect of a product right from the farm gate, it allows us to retain more value and ultimately do more good for our community and for the ecosystem under our management here in the Future Oak Farm project.
It certainly sounds like a very exciting project. In terms of timescale, I suspect it'll take several months before you could get to a production stage, but that's sort of what part of the process of what you're at the moment.
It is, exactly. You know, and that's the benefit of being part of a program like New Frontiers is that you know, it gives us kind of the breathing space really to make the connections necessary to tie in with the food technologists and the branding consultants and the development kitchens. We're super happy where we are with the Savage Protein Project at the moment in terms of our prototypes. They're very tasty. They're incredibly nutrient dense. They deliver a massive protein hit for calories consumed that beats everything else on the market out there at the moment. We are fast racing towards batch production, which will be early 2025, and looking for full commerciality probably around spring of next year.
It certainly looks like it ticks all the boxes, and I'm not aware of any organic protein bars out there. And no doubt, you know, the response from just even people sampling them or seeing them has been hugely encouraging.
It has for sure. And, you know, the other thing about it is, of course, this is a problem that we experienced ourselves, this idea of being caught between or having to choose the lesser of two evils when neither were particularly good when you're on the go. This is, as they say in certain circles, in certain permaculture circles, that the problem is the opportunity. So this relationship or this interaction with Enterprise Ireland has really given us the kind of guidance and support necessary to pursue this.
Back now to John Duffy and Laura McGarran's regenerative organic farm near Churchill. What they are doing could well be replicated in other areas and could lead to a new lease of life in uplands farming. Significantly, when the hills in the area were grazed extensively with sheep, they lacked diversity, structure and vigour. Maturing leggy heather was developing as the slim pickings of palatable grass were being selectively grazed to exhaustion. But since John and Laura have introduced cattle and encouraging them to mob graze, they've seen diversity increase, including the return of ground nesting birds, along with a patchwork of palatable grass species. As John alludes to, this is the power of the trample and adequate rest. As systems regenerate, increased diversity drives resilience, and so the carrying capacity and profitability of upland farms can increase even in the face of a changing climate. I wanted to find out more about how their Future Oak Farm project all started. So I imagine that, you know, when you started this off, a few people may have questioned what you were doing, but the fact that you've done this now for the best part of 10 years shows that you have certainly done things that people may have doubted. And there's people who probably said that, let's face it, you know, is there a future in sort of upland farming in very rural areas? You would be of the opinion there certainly is, and you can go about doing it in a way that for the common good is all the better.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I guess to give a bit of broader context here, I grew up in Glenbowen with a very conventional, extensive sheep farming operation. And then the game drastically changed around about 2004 or so when the subsidy-based payment systems went from headage-based payments back to area-based payments and caused us to rethink a lot of things in terms of how we farm the upland. So all of a sudden, basically in the space of a couple of years, you know, thousands of sheep literally disappeared from our ecosystem in the uplands. Now, I wasn't particularly interested in extensive farming as a kid, and I took the opportunity to study engineering at Letterkenny IT, and then I left. And it was only when I was away that I realized how kind of far disconnected people were from their land base. And actually how precious it was, how close I grew up to the ecosystem in which we're reared. So I began questioning things, and about 10 years or 12 years into a career in international engineering, I decided to sort of readdress some of those questions and move back. I realized I didn't really want to farm in the way that we'd kind of been taught to growing up. I wanted to kind of rethink the equation. I guess it was the engineer in me that wanted to do that. And we began looking for inspiration in other parts of the world. And we came across this topic of regenerative agriculture. And really, at its core essence, is that we can use animal production systems to help regenerate ecosystems, both in terms of water cycle, nutrient cycle, and, of course, of increasing importance is climate resilience.
You're growing now grass in areas that were previously just moss. So how has that all come about? Because you've changed the landscape and I've made a real success of it.
Yeah, so the whole relationship between the... I grew up thinking that the ecosystem that we're witnessing on the mountains in the west of Ireland, in scenes like Derry Bay, is peak ecosystem. I grew up thinking and believing, as we're all taught, that this is peak ecosystem, the fullest expression possible. But of course it's not. You know, before they were called the Derry Bay Mountains, they were called Nochta de Baja, the hills of oak and birch. And the question I really set out to answer was, where are the oak and birch gone? And the reality is that there has been eroded over a few hundred years or so since the eradication of the wolf in Ireland, since the intensification of sheep farming, and then since the reintroduction of a non-indigenous red deer herd in the 1800s for sport. All of these actions of herbivores have kind of eroded this woodland ecosystem that we once had, and allowed it to kind of topple off the cliff into the bare hills that we see today. So our role really as custodians of this land is to replace animal systems back onto these hills that act as successional ecological triggers, to trigger regeneration of these upland woodland ecosystems. And so the way we do that is, essentially, we bunch cattle together using electric fences, and we move them across the landscape on an annual basis. This is an ancient practice on the island of Ireland known as transhumance or pastoralism. It's still present in many parts of the European continent, but it's kind of, apart from the Burren in Ireland, it's kind of died out in most of the rest of the park. What it's allowed us to do, actually, here in Donegal and on the fringes of Glenveagh National Park, is to make far better utilization of the forage that's available to us year-round, meaning that we can design a system that doesn't need external feed inputs across the year. But the reality is that for most of the year, most of our farm is resting and in that recovery phase, and then we graze slowly through it during the winter close season.
So many people will be, you know, surprised that you can do all this with no inputs. I think I'm right in saying you started off really primarily with sheep, but then you ventured into equine and onto heavier livestock, and that all helped to essentially speeden up the process.
Yeah, exactly. Because what we're missing from, as I mentioned earlier on, with the eradication of the wolf, we've seen a behavior change in herbivores within our ecological systems. I grew up watching David Attenborough documentaries, and I remember these big these expansive helicopter shots of the kind of Serengeti in the African plains, where the only defense of herbivores was to keep bunched and moving in the presence of predators. And that's really what we're missing today from the behavior of the herbivores that we see in our kind of domesticated livestock production systems. So we seek in our grazing management strategies to kind of reenact that dynamic, that predator-prey dynamic. So what we do is we use electric fencing to keep animals bunched and moving, just as predators would do across the landscape. And crucially, it's the trample that allows us to trample biomass into the soil that feeds the soil biology, but then reinvigorates grass growth. And that's how we can take relatively low-energy, kind of stagnant systems in acid grasslands and heath areas back into really vigorous pastures. And we've seen some great success on the farm with zero input. We're not talking about reseeding here. We're not talking about importation of any kind of additional fertilizers or any kind of chemical additives at all. We're simply talking about triggering ecological succession, just how nature does it. And the way we do that is by keeping animals bunched and moving.
You're listening to Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. My guest is John Duffy of the Future Oak Farm near Churchill. Time now for a commercial break.
If you're starting or growing a business, make your first stop Local Enterprise Office Donegal. Get information on all the state supports available and get signposted to other supports and relevant bodies. Whether you're a new entrepreneur or an existing small business owner, start at localenterprise.ie/Donegal.
Welcome back to Business Matters with me, Chris Ashmore. Let's continue to find out more about John Duffy and his Future Oak Farm, which has seen the nurturing of a regenerative culture in the hills of Donegal, not to mention hosting educational workshop, volunteer days, and new product offerings. This is a business, and you have been able to use social media platforms to get the word out there and to show people exactly what you're doing. And I take it you found that, you know, there are other examples of people doing something maybe broadly similar. And by sharing ideas, you've also developed your business, and indeed you actually hold events on your farm.
We do, yeah. So my initial inspiration for this entire project, and particularly the grazing management aspect of it, was born from projects that largely came out of arid parts of the world, Australia, South America, and parts of continental United States. And when I started this project about 10 years ago now, I really set out on a path to question whether or not these approaches would work in our wet, temperate climate here on the Atlantic margin as they do in arid parts of the world. And the resounding answer that we found in the past 10 years is yes. So dipping a tentative toe in the water, we initially started out by bunching sheep and moved them around the landscape. Although we were working with a small flock of sheep at the time, around 40 or 50, we were running them at equivalent high density, super high density, but we were moving them. It's a management intensive process. We're removing them every kind of 12 to 24 hours, depending on the discrete objectives of where they were on the landscape. We then figured out how important that trample mechanism actually is in getting biomass that otherwise would oxidize, and that mineral, that nutrient accumulation would otherwise be lost to the atmosphere. How important the trample was in actually getting that biomass down and in contact with the soil surface so that it could be re-encycled to really feed the next generation of grass growth. And that's the tipping point. That is the true win when it comes to regenerative agriculture in a wet, temperate climate. So from sheep, we moved on to heavier livestock in the form of equines. And then more recently, about 2 years ago now, we brought on a mixed herd of Galloways and Dexters to do a side-by-side trial. And if anyone knows, people will be familiar perhaps through various kind of native breed programs that are on, including like the support from Acres and other kind of TAP projects. Dexters are a native breed to Ireland, but they're very, very small. And rather perhaps counterintuitively, what we found out was the Dexters were almost too small for our particular operation. So we've actually doubled down on our Galloway herd. Galloways are a heritage breed from the southwest of Scotland. They're about 100, 150 kilos on the hoof heavier than the Dexters, and they enable us to achieve a much more even trample across the biomass of the landscape. And what we're seeing is areas that have been, you know, mossy or heathery for many, many years before my time, and even during my childhood growing up here, are now throwing up really vigorous and diverse grass swards where they weren't in living memory before. And that's all due to the efficacy of the trample and this pattern of pulse grazing, trample, and rest.
Has there been, as a result of what you've been doing, has there been much attention to your whole business? Have you had a lot of inquiries from people, not just in Ireland, but abroad? And has this helped to shape things?
We have, yeah. I mean, we seek learning opportunities wherever we can get them. We're learning every day. Our process is quite a lean process. When we make a daily decision to move animals into a particular discrete area of the farm, we're constantly looking for how they're interacting with that particular area and moving on. And also, there's a tribe of people out there that are doing this type of approach, are employing these kind of observational techniques and these management strategies in slightly different climates. I mean, as you know yourself, the climate between Donegal and Wexford is very, very different, and everywhere in between, of course. So it's not only affected by rainfall and average ambient temperature, but of course soil types and topography and elevation and aspect as well. So this is where it kind of falls out of being an agricultural science and more of an art. And it really requires us to tune into the benefit of that the animals are having on the local ecosystem so that we can fine tune our decisions going forward in the future. And as a result of that, what we've been doing is we've been sharing these lessons as we learn them on social media. So we share them across a number of different platforms. Our main one would be Instagram. We're the handle at Future Oak Farm. We also have some legacy videos on YouTube that we'll be adding to in the coming months as well. And really what that does for us is it kind of rises people out of the woodwork that are also thinking the way that we're thinking. And it really speeds up our learning curve. So it allows us to figure out the observational techniques that are kind of underpinning all of our regenerative operations on the island of Ireland, but also across Europe as well. We've made some great friends, of course, because of it. But in addition to that, we've had a multitude of visitors out to the project here in Churchill. We've had people from all across Europe, from as far away as kind of Italy, Estonia, Germany, places like that. But we've also had a couple of people from the west coast of the United States come across as well. And these are practitioners that perhaps live in communities that are maybe 10 or 20 years ahead of us in terms of really executing these regenerative grazing practices, but are keen to learn the adaptations required for them in a wet, temperate climate such as we inhabit.
So tell us a little bit, give us an idea of an example of some of the events that you've held. I know you've had ones that include, for example, an introduction to Hedge Lane. It's a revenue stream for you, and from what you've said, there's been a lot of inquiries and a lot of people have come down for themselves.
Yeah, it's interesting. So we practice something called holistic management, and as the name might allude, we view the farm as a complete ecosystem. So for us, it's not just about the cattle, it's not just about the sheep element, or it's not just about the grass element, but it's about the farm functioning coherently as an ecosystem. And a big part of that is actually the tree systems that we have. You know, we live in a, as you know well yourself, we live in a very wet climate. On our particular side of the Arizona Mountains, we get north of 2 meters of rain a year. And in the face of a changing climate, we're seeing bigger rain inundation events when they come, and more protracted dry periods when they also show up as well. I mean, we're in the middle of November now, and it's probably north of 10 degrees at this time of night. So the weather is getting very weird. So it's in our interest in terms of long-term thinking to make our farms more resilient. And the way we do that is by viewing the farm as a complete ecosystem. Tree systems are a massive part of that, whether they be native woodland systems, whether they be deliberate planted systems in terms of agroforestry or tree crops, or also hedgerow systems. And as these elements of our ecosystem have kind of disappeared over the last couple of generations, it seems like we've kind of forgotten almost how to interact with them from an agricultural perspective. So what we're doing is we're trying to kind of reconnect people with trees on the landscape and the important role they play. You know, for the past 50, 60 years or so on the island of Ireland, through one mechanism or another, you've either been a farmer or a forester, but you've never really had a foot in both camps. And we're trying to demonstrate a profitable, resilient system going forward that integrates both of those philosophies.
Now, I see that you have produce for sale online. How successful has that been? And obviously, it's a premium product, so you can get a premium price.
It's a premium product for sure, because we put so much heart into it, you know. And just like every farmer around the island of Ireland, you know, we all care about the welfare of our animals, and we, in particular, we choose not to sell into an international commodity chain. So the way it works for us is really we pre-sell animals as they come ready for harvest in the form of cow shares. And basically, it allows animals to, before they even go on that final journey to the abattoir, we know kind of that the customers that are contacting us ahead of time to buy these shares really appreciate the life that those animals have had, the important positive impacts they've had on the local ecosystem, and on the work that we do. So it's not a case of, for us, it's not, it is, of course, a commercial endeavor, but it's more important to us that we have the right animal in the right place that's performing the right ecosystem function, and then the kind of fat of the land, as it were, is that through connection with social media, people recognize the work that we're doing and really value that and want to buy into that and support it.
And for example, you obviously market it as being organic, 100% grass-fed, regenerative beef, and people can purchase it in a box, a certain quantity, and then it'll be delivered throughout the country. So the future looks bright in terms of the farm itself, John. Future Oak Farm, how big an area do you farm at the moment, and you know, are you looking to expand further?
Yeah, so we're looking to, what we're finding at the moment is that the what we thought the capacity of the ecosystem that we're managing in regenerative terms is actually far lower than what we're finding day to day. Now, we're just about to complete, we're just going into our third winter in terms of outwintering animals and in a zero input system, and also improving the ecosystem. So we have certain metrics that are kind of internal facing that we're not quite at a position yet where we're ready to share. But we're currently managing about 120 acres of kind of freehold land in and around the kind of Glendon, Garton kind of areas. And what we're finding out actually is the carrying capacity of that land, as the land improves in vigor, in health, and in biodiversity, its forage quality is also going up. So our goals are really over the next kind of 3 to 5 years are really in fine-tuning our regenerative grazing practices on that land base and increasing production kind of organically, pardon the pun, but we're looking to increase it in a way that also supports regeneration of the ecosystem. So rather, unlike conventional agricultural businesses, we're not looking to expand our footprint in the immediate term. Instead, what we're looking to do is to inspire a network of other farmers that have land bases in the other area that these types of practices are possible on a zero input basis that benefits your local ecology and your personal economy and your local community. So what we're looking to do really, and that's why we're kind of spreading the message on social media, is to prove that this is possible and hopefully inspire people to have a look at their own farming setup through a critical eye and maybe take the leap into some of these regenerative practices, because they do pay off, but it requires a certain shift in mindset.
Absolutely, and by replicating what you're doing and being able to learn from your own experiences, you are proof that there is a future in uplands farming.
There is, for sure, yeah. And the real power is not in the cow or the hog. The real power is in the power of observation and being able to kind of change your management decisions on the fly to really kind of learn and fine-tune how your production systems, be it sheep or be it cattle or whatever mode of production you choose, really fits best within the ecosystem that you inhabit. Because ultimately, in that path lies, a future for communities and families and also local economies as well.
Now, if people want to find out more, John, give us your various details again for accessing your social media platforms.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, across all social media platforms, so that's X these days, Instagram and Facebook. We're more active on Instagram, perhaps, than anything else. We are at Future Oak Farm.
That's Future Oak Farm. John, we thank you very much indeed for joining us on Business Matters this week, and we will watch developments with great interest over the coming months and years. And that was John Duffy of Future Oak Farm. And that's it for this week's edition of Business Matters here on Highland Radio. Many thanks for tuning in. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, I wish you a happy, healthy, and profitable week. Goodbye.
Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by Local Enterprise Office Donegal. If you have an idea to start or grow your business within Donegal, contact the Local Enterprise Office to find out more about the supports available for businesses. See localenterprise.ie/Donegal.